This is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor for KLMP. You know, we are to make it our habit, our practice, to follow Jesus. And so if you'll allow me, for the next three mornings, I want to spend just a few minutes taking you on a journey to the places that are connected to the Christmas story. Let's follow Jesus, first to Bethlehem, then to Egypt, then to Nazareth. Well, we begin in Bethlehem. Jesus was not born in one of the great cities of the day, Rome, Athens, or Alexandria, not even Jerusalem, which is mentioned 611 times in the Old Testament. That was the center of religious and national life in Israel. Instead, 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem, Jesus was born in the tiny town of Bethlehem in the Judean hills. And the name Bethlehem means house of bread, which most probably was adopted by the village to honor the history of its surrounding region as a grain producing center in Old Testament times. But do you know the history of this little town of Bethlehem? In the Old Testament book of Ruth, we find that Naomi was from Bethlehem. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife Naomi and their two sons." Now, if you know the story of Ruth, then you know that Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem. That's where Ruth found a husband. They had a child. His name was Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse, who became the father of King David, and that is why King David was born in Bethlehem. That was David's hometown as well. Now, Bethlehem is not celebrated in world history as the birthplace of Naomi, or Boaz, Obed, or even King David, but as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And an animal corral was pretty much the delivery room for this baby. And his crib was a manger, as we know, a feeding trough for animals. It was far from the best place to put a newborn baby. The manger was a place that animals had licked and ate out of, so his first night on earth was spent in a very unsanitary environment. The Son of God began his life in a feeding trough, and ironically, his life would not end much better on a dirty wooden cross. And to whom does the angel first announce the birth of God's shepherd? Well, to actual shepherds in Bethlehem, the bottom rung of society in that day. Shepherds were usually very dirty people, spending a lot of their time alone with sheep, even weeks away from home. They were considered to be shady characters. Many simply wandered the countryside. They were involved in criminal activity, and they were so mistrusted that their testimony wouldn't even hold up in a court of law. Being a shepherd was what you did when you could not hold a job doing anything else. But in God's economy of things, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so God chose to announce the coming of his son, not to Caesar Augustus or Quirinius the governor, but to wanderers who hadn't taken a bath in days. These shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And the sight of Jesus in his cattle trough was no reason for the shepherds to be embarrassed. On the contrary, how comfortable they would be there in the presence of Jesus and Joseph and Mary, where they were most comfortable. Shepherds would be out of place and self-conscious in a palace, but in a corral, they were at home. And I'm sure that those shepherds would sit under the stars and wonder and pray if God would ever do something special out of their lives. Would God once again speak to a shepherd like he did centuries earlier to King David, who was right there in those very fields? Would God again call us to do something for him? These shepherds who felt so neglected, so overlooked, so mistrusted. And who does God trust with this great news? Those very shepherds. And he speaks to them. He comes to them in the very fields where King David would lay down under the stars and talk with God. And after seeing Jesus, it says that when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Well, it seems like people didn't appear to doubt the testimonies of those shepherds anymore. And when we think of shepherds today, we think of humble people honored by God to first hear the announcement of the birth of Jesus and then to make known his birth. And when we think of King David, we've got this image of him as a boy shepherding sheep. It's a positive image. when in fact, here was David, simply just another shepherd that lived centuries earlier in the very same village, out in those very same fields, under those very same stars, praying and waiting for that very same God to do something with his life. And Bethlehem is also known today as the place where there was no room for him at the inn. And though we don't know who turned Joseph and Mary away at the inn, I hope that innkeeper made it to heaven, because I'd like to thank him for unknowingly providing my Jesus with a birthplace that was better than any palace anywhere. Because the manger scene, more than any other part of the Christmas story, has been told and recreated since his birth. And we discover what the shepherds discovered, that the manger scene actually makes Jesus more approachable and intriguing for children and adults alike. Would you feel like a shepherd? That people don't know you or trust you, that you're worthless, you feel dirty, unnoticed? Then welcome to the long line of characters in the biblical story. And when Jesus comes to your Bethlehem, something will change you from what you were to what you can become as you carry and tell this same great story, the greatest story there is. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about when the Christmas story came to Egypt, and it will probably surprise you when you find out why Jesus had to go to Egypt. For KLMP, this is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor.